Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Kristen Kenny from Red Bull Global Rallycross, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the July 16th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 47 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Molly and myself once again take on some of the hot topics in the world of motorsports, including a review of the IHRA Nitro Jam event in Spokane. Tonight's show is going to be a bit different, as it will be a podcast interviewing people who cover racing, including the administrator of one of the largest NASCAR fan sites on Facebook, and a podcaster who reviews IndyCar and is currently on her way to their next event in Iowa. As most of you probably know, our co-host, Michael Lally, spent last weekend at the IHRA Nitro Jam event in Spokane, Washington, and she's going to help review a little bit of it this evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. What was your favorite part about the IHRA event last weekend?
I don't know if I really have a favorite part. I mean, it was all, like, I don't know, the IHRA had great hospitality. Everybody there was really outgoing. All of the drivers and crews and officials and stuff were all really, really nice and welcoming. And they acted like, they seemed to actually want your company and, you know, like, whereas some of the other events I've been to, they haven't exactly been as welcoming. So, yeah, I think all around it was a pretty good show. And I liked that they tried to, like, actually get the fans involved. I know that we've talked about that, you know, what people could do or what tracks and stuff could do more to get fans involved. And I think the IHRA really hit the nail on the head with that.
I know the IHRA has had some problems with weather. How was the weather over there for it?
Well, the first day we got there, it was about 95. And then a couple hours into the event, we noticed that there were some clouds starting to cover. And it was about 11 o'clock when the first day got over with. And right as we were walking to the car, it started pouring rain. So the first day it held out. The second day, the racing got delayed quite a bit because right when we woke up and looked outside, it was pouring rain. And it poured rain until about 2 in the afternoon. So, and then it was time-consuming because the track had to go through and scrape all the rubber off of it, or it would have got water pockets. And so, yeah, the weather held out the first day, but the second day it just didn't have it in it, I guess.
Well, that's pretty much what the IHRA has been dealing with all season. They've had pretty good first days, and then the second day it either rains enough to delay it or it rains enough to just cancel it altogether. They've had a few different rescheduling things. They've had another race that's scheduled for this weekend. Hopefully the weather holds out pretty well there in Edmonton for it. But then they've got another race that they actually had to totally reschedule that's scheduled for the middle of August. So hopefully they get that big rain cloud over the top of their head pretty soon.
Yeah, it was, I thought that I got, because we seen that it was raining, and my dad was all super excited, so even though it was raining, we still went and we sat around the stands for a couple hours, and not really the stands, but we sat around the track for a couple hours, even though it was pouring rain. And so, actually, I think I got kind of sick that night, because on the way home, my throat was starting to hurt, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just got sick. But luckily it was like a day thing, I think, so it was totally worth it.
You need to inhale more nitromethane fumes, it makes it all go away.
I'm going to have to take a pass.
How did your conversation with Trey Holbrook go? I know she was anxious to talk to you when you get out there on this past weekend.
It was really good. She didn't know who I was at first, which was you know, it was understandable. And then my dad was like, you know, Thursday Night Thunder. And then she was like, oh, yeah. And then it instantly clicked. And she was really, really nice and outgoing. And she was very outspoken. But she was willing to answer. I mean, my dad asked, like, 50 questions about her jet car. And so, I mean, she was, like, she was really nice. She answered any questions that we had. She didn't even, you know, we sat there and we talked to her for about a half hour, 45 minutes, and she was cool with it the whole time. And yeah, she was really nice. And she's very informative. I mean, you know, she said about the car she's driving, but, you know, she was another one that acted like she, you know, wanted to have a conversation with us. And so it was enjoyable.
I saw you had your picture taken inside one of the funny cars there. You ready to turn in your circle track license and start going drag racing now?
I am. I would love to drag race, but I was talking to the guy that drove the car that I was sitting in, and he actually used to circle track race, and then he started drag racing, and he said that he loves circle track race or loves drag racing, but he said that he does miss circle track racing because, you know, the races weren't 5 seconds long. And so I would love to drag race, but I think circle track is probably where I'm going to be for a while, just because, you know, and he made a valid point. Circle track races, you know, they're 50 laps, whereas a drag race, you probably are on the track a minute the whole weekend. So, yeah, not quite yet.
There you go. And who was your favorite driver that you saw out there?
Probably Elaine Sellers. She was just another outgoing driver, and I don't know, she was really nice, and she was another one that showed great hospitality, and yeah, so probably Elaine Sellers, and she was a girl driving a nitro or an alcohol funny car, so that kind of helped.
What was the fastest speed?
I think, if I remember correctly, the fastest speed we've seen all weekend was 287. It was either 287 or 289.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I figured they'd be a little bit slower because the altitude is different and the air is different and all that. It was, I think the fastest speed here was just a little over 300. So that was just a little bit different, but not too much.
Yeah, it was fun. It was still, you know, I mean, I go to an NHRA event and they're going like 320. But I mean, sometimes that's like, you know, overkill a little bit. And
yeah.
I feel like the like 289 and stuff was like the perfect speed to, I mean, you still got the, you know, vibration in your chest from the cars going by. So, I mean, you know, 289, it was pretty reasonable, I guess. It was still, you know, you still got the point across that they're really fast.
Yeah, our first guest this evening is Dennis Nickel. Dennis has been a racing fan for his entire life, 25 years, and has been admin of the Facebook page, The NASCAR Zone, for the past year and a half. On that page, their duty as a team is to post NASCAR news and race updates during the races. Myself, I was lucky enough to be a part of that group for nearly 2 years, and wholeheartedly support the work they do over there.
When not assisting with the NASCAR Zone, he races on www.iracing.com in his spare time. He enjoys watching close racing action any chance he can get and is a fine example of a racing enthusiast. Tonight, he will be on the program to help review the Coke Zero 400, the NASCAR weekend in Kentucky, as well as a bit of the Firecracker 250.
We're now happy to welcome Dennis to the program.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Not too bad. Enjoying this beautiful night.
Yeah, I know you had some weather issues, and the last time you were scheduled to be on the program, the weather's cleared up a little bit now, so that's good. How do you think NASCAR did in dealing with the rain delays at Daytona?
I felt like they did what they had to do. They had plans to go testing Wednesday, so they had to get the race in on Sunday night, and I think they did the right choice. I mean, it was a little bit late, don't get me wrong, but I feel like it was awesome,
Last Tuesday, several of the spectators who sustained injuries in the last lap crash of the Coke Zero 400 hired an attorney to represent their interests in court. What changes do you think that NASCAR and the ISC should make in regards to driver safety?
There's not much more they could actually do, other than what they have been doing. When fans buy these tickets, it's pretty much signing a release form, I feel like it's on the fans to, you know what I'm saying. It's like a release form buying a ticket. That's how I feel about it. When I buy a ticket, I know there's always a chance of debris flying in the stands, and anything could happen at these races.
I know you're an iRacing enthusiast. Of all the tracks you compete on this year in the iRacing.com series, which is your favorite and why?
I got to go with Texas. It was very competitive. On iRacing.com, we race the NASCAR iRacing series. It's 50% NASCAR races, and each week we mirror the NASCAR schedule. And I like all the mile and a half mainly. I am a short track guy, but mile and a half have been getting me good finishes this year, so it's been some good stuff.
As a guy who drives professionally in your own right, what advice would you give the racing community about how to be safer drivers?
You just got to have your eyes peeled on everything around you, and you got to make sure that you're not about to run into anybody or do anything that's not smart, Just got to keep your eyes open, be smart, and race hard on and hard.
I know some people who've raced in iRacing have gone on to careers in motorsports. What's your ultimate racing goal?
My ultimate racing goal is to get as far as I can in racing. My racing career, I am racing go-karts at the moment in real life. I'm trying to get the ball rolling on that. It's just a matter of running into that good luck and getting those wins when they really mean it.
My co-host in Ifrita, Washington has a couple questions for you now.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit more about iRacing?
iRacing is I feel like it's a professional simulation. Some people feel like it's more of a video game, but a lot of professional race car drivers get on there to actually train for some kind of tracks. If they never had any track time, they'll jump on iRacing and do some testing laps. I look at it as a professional career, look, because it is sanctioned by NASCAR, and it's probably the closest thing a lot of us are ever going to get a chance to do. So I try and take it as professional as possible, and I enjoy doing it. It's a great, great simulation.
Which do you prefer more, dirt track racing or asphalt racing?
My whole life I grew up watching asphalt racing. I lived around a local short track, Flemington Speedway, actually, which got knocked down about 10 years ago. But, I was more into asphalt my whole life. I didn't really start getting into dirt until the truck started racing at Eldora, which is a great show and opportunity for all those dirt track drivers to shine.
Who is your favorite race car driver?
I got to say Denny Hamlin. I've been a fan of him since way back, since he started in the Xfinity series. You know, before he started to get big, that's when I recognized him. He really impressed me his rookie year when he swept Pocono. I mean, that was pretty impressive by him. You know, that's a difficult track it was with all the old pavement on it and everything. I felt like he was the driver that could get it done for me.
What is your favorite form of racing?
NASCAR, you know. Just seeing an oval each week, throwing in a road course every once in a while. I do watch all kinds of forms of different racing, but, you know, like F1, IndyCar, I'll even throw a Supercross in there. I'm an enthusiast for pretty much all racing, but when it comes down to it, I just watch NASCAR if I had a choice.
So you said that you race go-kart.
Right.
Is that on, like, dirt, or is that on pavement?
That's on dirt, actually, because in Pennsylvania, there's no asphalt oval tracks really around by me, so I kind of have to improvise on running dirt.
Do you race the cute little go-karts that have those cute little wings on them that make them look like a sprint car, kind of?
No, I'm not there yet. I'm just in a flat cart. You know, sponsorship is very difficult nowadays to come by, and maybe one day someone will notice, and we can get on our merry way with that, you know. It's all about opportunity in the racing world.
What was your opinion of the NASCAR racing in Kentucky last weekend?
Oh, I feel like that was the best race of the year right there. There was a lot of action. I feel like the changes that NASCAR made on the cars were very, very good changes, and I feel like that if they keep going in that direction, they're going to start bringing back quite a bit of fans, in my opinion. You know, it was side-by-side action most of the night, especially for the lead. You had quite a few different lead changes. I was personally impressed with how it was compared to the rest of the season. No one exactly dominated, but, you know, it was a good race for sure.
And who's your pick for this weekend?
Well, I got to go with Denny Hamlin. You know, he's great at New Hampshire. The last time he won there, he called his shots, and he just took it to town. He really laid it on the competition, and it was hopefully he could do it again this year.
How do you feel about the NASCAR schedule? Do you think it's too long? Do you think that they should, or it's just about right?
I feel like it's just about right. You know, every sport has, you know, their tough schedules and everything. Like, baseball has 162 games. Well, NASCAR has 36 races a year, and it may be a lot for some people, but I feel like it's just right to have the chase format in there. It just all fits in. For them to make it shorter, I think it would just, you know, draw bad attention, in my opinion.
And what's your opinion of the chase? Do you think they should add a road course into it, or do you like the way it's laid out right now?
Oh, a road course would definitely change things up. It'll be another wild card, just like Talladega. You know, anything can happen on those road courses, especially if you get a road ringer in that chase. And like AJ Allmendinger, for instance, you know, if you get him in the chase, you know, he'll have the biggest shot to move to the next round with that race.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening, and I'd like to invite everybody to take a look at NASCAR Zone on Facebook just by searching NASCAR Zone in the search bar, and they're pretty well they've got the races covered every weekend, and they provide news on the sport that you can't find everywhere else. So, thank you very much for coming on.
Yes, no problem, sir. Thank you for having me on.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Once again, that was Dennis Nickel, one of the administrators of NASCAR Zone, a Facebook fan page, one of the largest Facebook fan pages for NASCAR on the internet. So you're going to go with Joey Logano to win it again at New Hampshire, since he's been pretty dominant at that track in the past couple of years?
Of course. Who are you going to go with?
I actually think that that Dennis's pick was pretty good. I think Denny Hamlin will have a pretty good shot of being up front there at New Hampshire this weekend.
Maybe. Only time will tell.
Especially since Denny Hamlin hasn't exactly had the stellar season that he's been accustomed to the past few years, so he's desperate for a win, and I'm pretty sure that New Hampshire would be as good a place as any to get one.
Yeah. You guys are probably right. I just don't really care for Mr. Hamlin.
In addition to the racing this weekend in New Hampshire, NASCAR, the IHRA, as I mentioned before, they have their race coming up in Edmonton, Alberta. So if you're interested, if you're out on the West Coast there and you'd like to drive to the Great White North, you can maybe take a road trip up to Edmonton, Alberta this weekend. They start their racing there tomorrow, and they have another set of competition on Saturday. In addition, the IndyCar will be in Iowa this weekend. We're going to discuss that a little bit with our next guest. She'll be on in about 10 minutes. She's currently on her way out to Iowa for the IndyCar race. IndyCar's had a pretty interesting weekend. They've had some announcements about the future that we'll get into a teeny bit with our next guest. We don't really cover IndyCar quite that much on this program, but it's always something good to chat with some people who cover it a little bit more than we do. IndyCar is having a few issues, as a lot of people know. The IndyCar series has had its ups and downs over the past few years. This year is an up. They did have a very good amount of people watch the race there from Milwaukee, and the grandstands were fairly crowded. They weren't full by any means, but there were quite a few people there. So hopefully it'll be a good year for IndyCar, and hopefully they work out all their issues and they're able to continue on. As it looks now, they might have a very rough year next year.
Yeah, I haven't really been following IndyCar all that much, and I know that's bad. I know I should be, but to be honest with you, I think I watched the Indy 500, and that's about the extent of what I've watched of Indy car racing this year.
I think that's kind of their issue as well. They've got one of the greatest drivers in the history of IndyCar, also a pretty good sports car guy, Paul Tracy, last year made a comment about IndyCar, saying the IndyCar can have the best racing in the world, but it has but if nobody's watching it, it really doesn't matter. And that's kind of the problem they have. They've had a little bit of an identity crisis. They have they've had some problems with ownership. They've had some other issues, and issues with shortening their schedule the way they have, because it's really short. But hopefully they figure it out. It was a great race in St. Petersburg they went to earlier in the year, and it was action-packed the whole time. The weekend is full. There's all sorts of racing, and I know that they tried to do that with all their events. So it's a great fan experience, like you were saying about the IHRA, which is an awesome fan experience. The IndyCar tries to be a pretty good fan experience as well. Only most of the IndyCar stuff is on-track activities. It's all the racing that just keeps going and going and going and going the whole weekend. So you could definitely get your money's worth when you go out to an IndyCar race.
One thing I will say about IndyCar is because I have watched IndyCar races with my dad. I've kind of lost interest, I think. And I know that, again, sounds kind of mean, but I will say that I like that their races are, like, short. You know, not, like, short, but they're to the point. Whereas NASCAR, I think they kind of, I don't want to say they drag it out, but I mean, like, you know, some of their races are, like, 400 laps, and it's just, you know, after a while, it's, like, tiring to watch, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I will say that I do like the IndyCar isn't, like, you know, they don't race till, like, Christmas. So.
Yeah, it seems like sometimes, it seems like the more popular racing series now are the shorter series, the ones not necessarily as, because IndyCar is sort of the midpoint. The NASCAR is the marathon races that just go, as you said, they just seem like they go on and on and on forever. IndyCar, most of their races are roughly 2 hours long. There are a few that are longer than that. Even the Indy 500 is just a little over 2 hours because they're zooming around that track. But the really popular races now are the ones that are less than 50 laps. Ones like the Red Bull Global Rallycross, which their longest race is I think it's 15 laps. Formula E Series, the FIA Formula E Series, where their races are just over, just about 50 laps long. And part of that is kind of the society we're living in, the society that has a little bit shorter attention span, and they don't want to tune in for a whole day of racing. They want to just go there, watch the race, and have it be over with, and maybe have another race go in after that or whatever. But the having a race just goes on for like 400, 500 miles is a little bit long for people who get tired of watching something for after 2 minutes. So that's kind of a statement against society, but that's also a statement of just the way things are now. People they live a higher paced life. They want things to happen right now, and if it doesn't happen right now, it's not worth doing. And there are racing series that have to deal with that. IndyCar is one of those. NASCAR is as well. Because people don't like sitting around all day waiting for a race that is the only race that's going on during the day, and you just end up sitting there and waiting, and then the race keeps going, and people zoom in at the beginning, and then they wait. They're basically just zooming in place until the very end. So you got time to, even if you're sitting at the track, to sit there and take a nap while you're at the track waiting for something exciting to happen in the race. Lots of issues that modern racing has, and if we had the answers, we'd be the billion-dollar show, but we're not. We're trying to be, but we're not. So you never know. If you have a great answer to all the questions of motorsports, please share it with us, and I'm sure that the sporting community would appreciate it. So what's the attendance been like at your races out there in Washington? What was the attendance like at the IHRA race this past weekend? I know the weather was a little iffy for that, but...
Well, for the IHRA race, I mean, you know, Friday, people are still working, but around 6 o'clock or so, the stands were, I don't want to say they were packed, but they weren't quite as bare as they was like when we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday, they were packed. Like, you barely had any walking space. Like, where me and my dad sat, because we sat by this lady, and we actually had to have her, I mean, we didn't have her, but we asked her if she would save our seats for us while we went and talked to some of the guys in the pit. And she did, but thankfully she did, because there were people all over the place. There was a ton of people standing along the fence line, just standing along the fence line because there was nowhere to sit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the attendance at the IHRA race was pretty insane. But, I mean, it was good because, you know, that's the first time, you know, a big race like that has been at Spokane, or at least the drag strip in Spokane. So, I mean, it was good. I definitely think they'll probably come back, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
The attendance at the track that we do a lot of our racing at, last weekend they had Mr. Dizzy, and I don't know if you're familiar with Mr. Dizzy, but he blows himself up and he crashes a car. He's kind of boring, to be honest.
Okay.
But, I mean, when you see him, like, because he's came every year that we've raced. So, you know, he does the same thing every year. So it's like, you know, it's not suspenseful anymore because you know what he's going to do. But, I mean, for, like, a little kid, it's probably really cool. But anyway, so they had him and Metal Militia there last weekend. And I guess the attendance there was pretty good for that night. But, like, previous night, previous races, it hasn't been good at all. I mean, the first race, I think it was decent. I'm trying to think back to the first race, but I believe it was decent. And it's just that track is having a hard time, like a lot of the tracks around here, bringing people into the stands, keeping them into the stands, and providing a great show for them. And I think that that's why they're having such a hard time bringing people into the stands, because they can't even bring people into the pit to race on their track. And I know that that sounds mean, and I hope that they're not listening, but, I mean, it's true. They're just, I don't know what it is about that track, but they're just having a hard time bringing racers in. And, you know, if there's not, you know, at least 10 cars in each class, that's not much of a show, and people aren't going to want to pay to watch that.
Yeah, I know that the when I went down for the Trans Am race at Homestead, they had the historic sports car race as well. And most of the classes that they had in that, it wasn't even a full podium full of racers. There were maybe three cars per class, and that doesn't make for any race at all. That just makes for people going around in circles and getting halfway decent pictures of the cars. So there are definitely some issues in some forms of motorsports, but overall, I think it's doing okay. There is a bright future for racing, especially in certain classes, but it's a time of transition in racing, and it'll be interesting to see over the next few years which one comes out on top.
Yeah. We've been talking about, because we want to move up in classes. We want to run some cars, but we were even talking about building like a I don't remember what they're called, but the truck. And my mom was like, you know, why do you guys want to go and spend? She's kind of a negative Nancy when it comes to racing, but, I mean, she puts up with it. But anyway, she was basically asking us, you know, why we want to build, you know, bigger cars when, in her opinion, local racing, like local track racing, is dying out. And, I mean, I can kind of see what she's saying, but honestly, I enjoy local track racing more than I enjoy professional racing. So, but, I mean, obviously that's just me, and, you know, I have a different opinion than a lot of people, so.
Well, not really. I don't think that I think if everybody went out to a local track and enjoyed the full experience, it would be a lot different. Because when not really all that long ago, I suppose, but the 15 years ago, I think, I got to go to a dirt race in Ohio, in Conneaut Lake, Ohio. It was a pretty interesting race. It was one of the first races that my current wife and I went to, and it was her first race overall. And it was a pretty awesome thing. I think that now with the economy what is, the field would be a little bit smaller, but the field then was huge. There were like 30 cars in four different classes. And you can get right up to the cars and talk to the drivers and everything. And I think that the local tracks have a lot going for them. And if people went and truly had the time to experience that thing, they realize that the people who they see on television in a couple of years are people who start out at a small little local track with absolutely no big huge trailers and nobody else, and all they're racing for is the fun of the sport. And that's a pretty amazing thing to see.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like, at our local track, a lot of it, I don't know, I'm not going to get into that, but I feel like professional racing, and I don't know if I'm using this word correctly, but has a lot of politics in it. And I think that kind of, you know, messes it up a little bit in terms of how fun it is.
Yep. And there's always a little bit of politics involved in all forms of motorsports, I think, because if you talk to some of the people, like in the my father and I were able to talk to the head of IndyCar, Derek Walker, the guy who's the sort of the face of the sport. His issue was a little bit of the politics of the sport as well, and it just gets, the more money you have, I think the more political issues you have to deal with. In IndyCar, in NASCAR, and definitely in all forms of major motorsports now as well. Our next guest this evening is Melissa Linker of the Indy Sports Car Podcast. The Indy Sports Car Podcast was started in November of 2014 by passionate racing fans for passionate racing fans to get excited about their favorite forms of racing. The podcast is released every Wednesday, and the segment Lowdown for the Showdown is released every Thursday before race weekend. The ISCP crew is made up of Frank Lynx, co-host, Jay Shep, co-host, and Missy Lynx, EP/co-host, who we're going to have on the show this evening. The podcast also discusses the Formula One Series, the Tudor United Sports Car Championship, the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, the World Endurance Championship, the Pirelli World Challenge, the Formula E Series, and the Blancpain Series, and can be found on iTunes or Podbean.com. We'd now like to welcome Melissa Linker to the program. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. First off, how do you feel about the fact that attendance at some of the larger racing events seems to be on the decline? And how would you get more fans to go to this track?
Well, you know, I think the numbers are kind of a little bit deceiving, only because a lot of the races this year have had issues with the weather. For NOLA, for instance, Detroit, Toronto, Fontana. And Fontana, I think, was just with IndyCar, only because they're in the desert in 90-degree weather at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. So I think a lot of it had to do with the weather going on, with why the attendance was down.
It looks like we just lost her, but I do agree with the fact that the weather has been an issue with all forms of racing, and I don't think that the Fontana track schedule was the best that they could do for IndyCar. There were like maybe 3,000 people in the grandstands. That's not a way to do, not a good thing for television. Hopefully she'll be calling back in a second. I know she's traveling, as I said, she's traveling from her home in New Jersey out to Iowa for the race this weekend. And here she is again. You're back on again.
Sorry about that. Yes, we are traveling to Iowa for the race this weekend.
Mm-hmm. So who's your favorite driver in IndyCar?
Well, my favorite race car driver or IndyCar driver would be actually Will Power. I've only started watching IndyCar not too long, just since 2009. He started his racing career with IndyCar in 2008 with the KB racing team. So I just kind of stuck to him because after his accident that he had and he was able to come back, I just think that was very courageous. I mean, because his accident was traumatic. And plus, I like his name, Power. You know, it sounds like a cool name.
It does. How do you feel the IndyCar body kits have changed the sport? And do you think that Honda and Chevy are on the same level in terms of speed and handling?
I think they have changed the sport, especially with the road courses. The Arrow kits are doing very well on the road courses. The oval, you know, they're working out the kinks. There's still a lot of kinks they need to work out with the oval kits. But they seem to be proactive about, you know, the accident that happened in Indianapolis. They were proactive about that and fixing the problem. You know, but the problem is the wing, and once it gets turned around, because you're using so much downforce, it's made to push down, and when it turns around, you get lift. You know, so I think they still need some work on the Arrow kit, for the oval, but they're getting there. And as for Hondas, I think they're the same. I think they're the same engine. They have the same power. It's just the average are making Honda a little less competitive with the Chevy Arrow kit.
What's your favorite racetrack?
Well, of course, Indianapolis, I would say, is my favorite oval to go to. I would probably say my favorite street course is St. Pete. Love St. Pete. And my favorite road course is Ohio, which we will be attending this year again for the third year in a row.
And who's your pick for Iowa this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend is Iowa. We will be attending Iowa this weekend, yes. So that'll be our first trip here to Iowa.
Who's your pick for the winner there?
I actually really like Tony Kanaan and Scott Dixon for this race. They've both done very well here in the past, but lately, with a lot of the drivers doing pretty well that you wouldn't expect on the ovals. I mean, I think James Jakes is a pretty good pick. He's been doing very well on ovals this year. Marco Andretti has actually improved on ovals this year, so I think he has a great shot at winning too, but Indy Rivals picks, I should say, are, you know, Scott Dixon and Tony Kanaan.
I'd now like to throw it out to my co-host, Michael Mullally, and Afraid of Washington, who has a couple questions for you as well.
What is your favorite IndyCar memory?
My favorite IndyCar memory was, I think at the top of the list would have to be, you know, Will Power winning the championship last year. It has to be my favorite memory. But I also loved, last year was our first trip to Indianapolis, and that trip was just an absolutely amazing experience for, you know, I recommend anyone that gets a chance to go to the Indianapolis 500 to go.
How did you become so involved with IndyCar?
Well, I would have to attribute that to my co-host and also my husband, Frank. You know, he was a big IndyCar fan, and he would watch it every weekend. And I would watch it here and there, but I have to say I wouldn't watch it as consistently or as adamantly as he did. And after a while, I started, you know, glancing up from, you know, whatever I was doing and watching and kept watching. And then we went to our first race, which was in New Hampshire, which they don't go to anymore. And I've been hooked ever since I went to that track. So,
what is your favorite part about IndyCar racing?
Well, my favorite thing about IndyCar racing is I actually love going to the tracks and watching, you know, the races. I think that it's a great experience to get out there, especially if you ever have a chance to go into the paddock and meet some of the drivers, especially on qualifying day. They're very accessible. They will stop and talk to you. They just seem to be the most accessible race drivers, besides Tudor, because Tudor also, they're very accessible too, but they seem to be very accessible for you to be able to talk to drivers and, you know, get to know them a little bit and have some side conversations with them.
Do you follow any other forms of racing, or is it just all about IndyCar?
No, actually, the show is mainly about IndyCar, but we do also touch on Formula One. We also touch on the United Sports Car Championship Series. We also do a little bit of the Pirelli World Challenge. We'll touch on the Continental Tire Series. We do touch on Indy Lights. We've had a USF 2000 driver on. So we do touch on different, you know, sports, you know, different majority of racing. NASCAR, unfortunately, is one of the ones we really don't touch upon. Our other co-host, Jay, is a big NASCAR fan. So when there's a road course or one of the big ones like Daytona or Talladega, we'll touch on NASCAR then.
How do you feel about the fact that they've compressed the IndyCar schedule to being one of the shortest professional racing schedules in the country now?
I could honestly say I'm a little unhappy about it. You know, I thought they took away a lot of good tracks. for instance, Baltimore. I went to Baltimore every year it was there, and that was, I thought, a fantastic track. And to lose that track is just, you know, just heartbreaking. But hopefully with, you know, the talk that came out with one of the, what the gentleman, I forget what his name is now, Miles, I believe it was, when he spoke, he said, you know, Road America may be coming back, and he was throwing out quite a few tracks that, you know, we are hoping come back on any schedule next year and making that schedule longer to, I believe they want to start the end of February, beginning of March, and end in late September or October. So hopefully next year we will have quite a few more races on. And Boston has been confirmed next year. So since living in the Northeast, there's not too many tracks up here besides Pocono. So another track up in the Northeast would be absolutely fantastic for, you know, the Northeast fans of racing.
Yeah, I know in the past they talked about actually having a street course type event in New Jersey. That would be another interesting place to bring the IndyCars back to.
Yeah, we've heard rumors of that. I would say actually from living in New Jersey, I personally don't think that's going to happen. With our governor that's in the office now, I can't see that, you know, because I know did think they were talking Formula One, and Formula One has been pushing to come to New Jersey, but I don't think it's going to – I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, we do have the Millville Motor Sports Park that's down in South Jersey. Mm-hmm. However, you know, they tell us that, I guess, some of the runoffs there are just not long enough for IndyCar to race there. But I believe Pro Mazda does go there, which is one of the ladder series for the IndyCar.
How do you feel about the Mazda Road to Indy? Do you think they do a pretty good job of developing drivers to go into the IndyCar series?
I mean, we've actually talked to a couple drivers in each actually division. We've talked to a USF 2000 driver recently, Parker Thompson, and discussed things with him. We've also talked to Spencer Pigot, who happens to be second in the points in Indy Lights right now. And they do say, you know, they do a fairly well job of bringing them up and developing them. There has been a little bit of controversy of them because right now they don't do any pit stops. So, you know, the idea was brought up maybe at least for Indy Lights in order for them to do at least one pit stop, you know, just at least stopping and hitting their marks, because as of right now, the first experience they get with a pit stop is in IndyCar. So we have drivers like Tristan Vautier, who's been on our show a couple times, who is actually pushing for, you know, at least a pit, just at least stopping on your marks. No fuel or anything, no changing of tires, but at least just stopping on your marks and going back out for a pit stop. But, you know, it would be a great idea, at least for Indy Lights.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about the fact that they eliminated most of the standing starts? Do you think that's a good idea for the sport? I know that was sort of a safety thing that they're trying, but how do you think it's affected the racing?
I actually love the standing starts. We were at the one in Baltimore, which they made them go back around one time, but they did get it off, and I actually loved it. I thought it brought a great, you know, thrill to the IndyCar, you know, start of the race. But then what happened after, I believe it was last year with the inaugural at Indianapolis, mm-hmm. with Sebastian Saavedra, I believe, won the pole for that, and he didn't get started, and that was just a major crash in the beginning. I kind of think that kind of nixed that, but I believe the twin turbo engines just really aren't built to do a standing start. But I love them.
Yeah, I think the standing start was an awesome idea as well. They used to do that in the more than a few years ago in IMSA. They used to have the standing start for some of their events as well, and that was a pretty awesome thing to see.
Right. Yeah, I love seeing them. You know, I would love to see them come back.
Well, I'd like to wish you a good time there in Iowa, and thank you very much for coming on the show this evening.
Yes, thank you. And you can check us out again, you know, at ISCP Podcast on Twitter, and our webpage is www.indysportscarpodcast.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Melissa Linker of the Indy Sports Car Podcast, who is currently on her way to Iowa for the IndyCar race this weekend. So what's next on your racing schedule?
Well, not this weekend, but the weekend after, so the following weekend, my brother, because like I said, my dad just built a whole new motor, and we're hoping this one stays together, and we're hoping it's faster. But anyways, so I'm going to let my brother take the race car out, and so we're going to race that up here at Ephrata. And so I'm going to let him take it out, and hopefully it's faster. If it's not faster, my dad, when we went to the IHRA event, they're actually giving my dad a lot of pointers. So, of course, my dad's got this idea in his head now. So if it's not faster, we're going to come back, and he's going to take some of their advice and hopefully put something else together. And then after that, hopefully, we're going to take the car up to Hermiston, Oregon, for their big mini stock invitational.
So when you come out with the nitromethane injected motor, you'll know where the idea came from.
Yeah, I could see him trying that too. I really could.
Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to check out the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. Past week, I've done some articles about a couple more NASCAR articles, a couple of articles covering the previewing the event in Iowa this weekend, and some articles covering the IHRA race in Edmonton as well. So be sure to check those out.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome when we will welcome NASCAR Xfinity driver / owner Benny Gordon.
Have a nice week, and we'll talk to you next week.